On Tuesday's front page, political turmoil continues in Greece, but now the economic trouble is spreading to Italy. That leaves the fate of the euro in the hands of two of Europe's most tangled political cultures. Michael Jackson's doctor was convicted of manslaughter in Los Angeles, and Syria has opened a bloody assault to retake the country's third largest city. I'm James Barron. All the news that fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says officials in Greece tried to work out details of a power-sharing deal in return for a financial lifeline. Prime Minister George Papandreou is stepping down. An interim prime minister hasn't been named yet. But Times reporter Rachel Donadio says the turbulence is moving on to Italy, where Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's days appeared to be numbered.
What has brought him to this point is not any of the many corruption scandals that have always dogged him, or the underage girls, or all the other very colorful issues, but really the markets. I mean, the fact is that last week, the International Monetary Fund announced that it would be monitoring Italy. Italy has requested their help, unclear who asked for what. The other problem is that there's a crisis of politics in Italy. If he's out, no one has any clear sense of what happens the next day. But the fact is that his advisors on Monday were urging him to step down for the good of the markets.
Times reporter Rachel Donadio. She says that in both Italy and Greece, it's not just the economy that's under pressure, but democratic governments that have to make unpopular choices. Also on Tuesday's front page, new allegations about Republican candidate Herman Cain. A Chicago woman says he made a crude advance in 1997 after she asked for his help in finding a job.
I want you, Mr. Cain, to come clean. Just admit what you did. Admit you were inappropriate to people.
Sharon Bialik is the first accuser to go public. She said she wanted to give a face and a voice to allegations that Cain acted inappropriately when he headed the National Restaurant Association. Cain's campaign issued a statement saying the allegations are false. In Los Angeles, Michael Jackson's doctor was convicted of involuntary manslaughter.
We, the jury in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Conrad Robert Murray, guilty of the crime of involuntary manslaughter.
The jurors concluded Dr. Murray administered a powerful anesthetic that helped kill the pop star. The verdict came after 22 days of testimony by nearly 50 witnesses. Prosecutors portrayed Dr. Murray as a reckless caregiver who gave Jackson propofol without taking appropriate precautions. His lawyers said he was an angel of mercy who gave Jackson only a small dose on the day he died. Dr. Murray now faces up to 4 years in prison. He'll be sentenced on November 29th. The Syrian government has opened a bloody assault to retake the country's third largest city. Government soldiers are facing off against determined defectors and a relatively unified Sunni Muslim majority. Times reporter Anthony Shadid says that has turned the city of Homs into an urban battlefield, with activists saying government forces have killed 111 people in just 5 days. Some residents say they're keeping the lights off for fear of snipers. The fighting continues amid the apparent collapse of Arab League mediation. Nearly all of the nation's biggest financial companies have settled fraud cases by doing little more than promising the SEC they'd never do it again. But they have. A Times analysis found 51 instances since 1996 in which financial companies violated a law they had promised never to break. The pattern calls into question the SEC's power to deter wrongdoing. Some critics say it's another sign lax enforcement and token punishment continue. For shoppers who've had it with their bank, there's always Walmart. It gave up on getting a federal bank charter several years ago, but it's been quietly building its menu of a la carte financial services. Walmart customers can cash checks and add money to their prepaid debit cards. Walmart is not the only place that's benefiting from all the anger at banks. In the last 4 weeks, more than 650,000 people have signed up with credit unions nationwide. Inside Tuesday's Times, federal regulators approved an art project that will stretch fabric over a river in Colorado. It's the latest installation by the artist Christo, who built Orange Gates in Central Park in 2005 and draped the Reichstag in Berlin before that. This time he's planning to suspend 8 panels over a 5.9-mile stretch of the Arkansas River. Construction is expected to begin next year, assuming the final local approvals come through. Christo is aiming for a 2-week display in 2014. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is increasingly focused on the competition to build a high-tech graduate school here in New York. City officials hope it will give rise to new high-tech businesses. City Council Speaker Christine Quinn says the new school could be a big part of Bloomberg's legacy as mayor, as well as a game-changer for the local economy. Researchers in Britain are about to start building a computer big enough to fill a room. It won't have software, unless you count the metal gears and the punch cards. It's a build-out of the world's first programmable computer. It was dreamed up by 19th-century mathematician Charles Babbage. Researchers at the Science Museum in London are hoping they can crowdsource it. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. The New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.